Speaking of good news, last night when the tallies were done, congratulations, Terry Bryant, Illinois State Representative. Terry, congratulations on last night.
Thank you, Tom. I'm still kind of on a high this morning from the win last night. So it's good to talk to you today and talk about it a little bit.
Well, it could be a high or it could be sleep deprivation. You're not sure which it is.
Well, it could be the 12 cups of coffee and the Dr. Pepper I drank last night.
Yeah. Actually, my mine was chocolate pie last night. I departed from my diet considerably last night after the election coverage and had chocolate pie. So
sure.
I needed a treat. That race with you and Paul Jacobs towards the end, very trying, and I don't think bitter. I don't know if bitter maybe is not the right word. What word would you use?
Oh, contentious.
Okay.
I don't think I would say bitter. I mean, you know, Dr. Jacobs is a very nice, individual, and you know, I applaud him for. We want good people to engage, and he certainly engaged. And I think moving forward, I would be hopeful that he would support me in November. I'll certainly be trying to sit down with him and talk through some of the issues that bothered him and got him into the race. As with all of those individuals who supported him and would like to sit down and maybe talk about those issues so that we can move forward and win in November.
Because what you just talked about is also a microcosm compared to the great picture. You've got your race. You'd like to see the group that was, that it's over now and we come together. We don't see that on a federal level as we once did. But we also have, like 20% of the legislature is, up in the air for this upcoming election. So there were a lot of things going on there. But when you look at, say, for instance, Ives Rauner, will be Bruce Rauner be able to get that Ives supporter in the Rauner column?
Well, I would hope so, because certainly when we look at J.B. Pritzker is an individual who is pro-choice. He does not support our Second Amendment rights, and he supports a progressive income tax. So for those who voiced their upset and anger over an increase in the income tax, imagine what it will do to our economy if a progressive income tax passes. So it's going to be super important in November that we elect people who are going to fight against that, who are going to protect our Second Amendment rights, and who are going to protect life.
What is your response for people calling you Taxing Terry?
Well, I would say to them what I've been saying, and that is we have to pay our bills. The most conservative individual that I know believes in paying their bills. And in fact, Romans 13:7 says, pay your bills. So we could not be in a position where we were racking up $2 million a day in interest payments just because we weren't paying the bills and pushing small businesses out of business simply because they had made the mistake of doing business with the state of Illinois. We have to pay our bills. We're on a track now to get our bills paid. We've moved from $16.5 billion down to less than $8 billion in our backlog of debts. And I think we're not there. We got a long way to go, but at least I think we've turned a corner.
Well, I think many people hope so. I mean, before you came on, we were talking about people that somebody last night, Terry, saw the election results, and it doesn't matter whether Democrat or Republican. I don't think it makes as much difference as people would like to think, because really what we're looking at in the state of Illinois that is the trouble is math, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a philosophy, but I get what you're talking about. You got to pay your bills. But, that understanding, I think we looked it up yesterday or this morning. It was $9.326 billion in unpaid bills at the comptroller's website. That's just the unpaid bills. And account, we can argue over it. But with Mr. Mm-hmm. Pritzker, he challenged me on my number last week, and we'll go with his. Well, $140 billion in unpaid pension.
Sure, the pension debt is an ongoing issue that we do have to address.
And nobody talked about it. Nobody talked about it in the election about how they were going to solve these problems. So I'm going to do this new. I'm going to do this new. I'm going to do this new. And I even told Mr. Pritzker, Bubba, we're broke.
Well, we did address it somewhat in the budget that we're in this year, in that a new Tier 3 pension system has started. It's a hybrid 401k. There are still some issues with it. We're kind of working out some glitches. But, but we are moving in a direction to address that issue. And remember that the Supreme Court's been very clear about what we can and cannot do. So when we get this backlog of bills paid down, we should immediately then turn and take the money that's been paying the backlog and apply that to the pension debt and start moving in that direction. It's what we would do at home. Pay down one debt, move that money over, and start paying down another debt.
Right.
So it's going to take a real fiscal diet to do that, and that's what I'm committed to.
Supreme Court. I'm glad you brought up those two words, because if you take Supreme Court, I think we'll have to look to Supreme Court or constitutional change, because it's very clear. I mean, he said it repeatedly. The candidate Pritzker wants a progressive tax, which is against the Constitution. So he's going to have mm-hmm. substantial legislative support to change, or there'll have to be a constitution, one or the other.
Yeah, that's not going to be there. So our main goal right now is really to get enough seats on the Republican side of the aisle to unseat Speaker Madigan. Even right now, there is not enough support in the House to change the Constitution. And I'll tell you, if you look at the history with the Speaker, he doesn't put constitutional questions on the ballot. He doesn't want the Constitution changed. Remember, he was a part of the 1972 rewrite of the Illinois Constitution. That's his legacy. So he doesn't want that changed. So anyone who thinks that they're going to do that, I think are misled and misguided.
Yeah, because you go out and you make a campaign promise, and it's like when you mentioned the Supreme Court, and you know the legislation passed, and the Supreme Court took like 3 years to tell you couldn't do it. 3 years we couldn't mm-hmm. afford, to be honest with you. Have you noticed I'm a little petulant? I'm a little upset. I'm wondering if it's because I'm asleep, but I'm worried. I be honest with you, Terry. You and I've known each other long enough, so I might as well just go mm-hmm. ahead and puke my guts up here. I'm very worried about the state of Illinois. I'm worried about leaving. I'm worried about pension. I'm worried about the debt. I'm worried about people who are leaving. You know, I talked to people at the Department of Corrections, a number of them over the last week. They feel, I used the term with one in particular. I said, can I help paraphrase this? You feel that the Department of Corrections has been left on autopilot by the current administration? He says, yeah, I think that's a good term for it.
I would agree with that. I've been working for some time to get some major changes made at the top in the Department of Corrections. I'm hoping that now the primary is out of the way, I can get the governor's attention on that issue. I believed those changes were going to be made several months back, and they were not. So I'm going to start pressing again for a major change at the top in the Department of Corrections.
Because, you know, they also, by the way, said, when are we going to get our back pay? So I want to go ahead and mention
yeah.
that, too, because, I mean,
well,
that's always there.
I'd like for that to happen, too. That comes up often. I, unfortunately, because of the Ethics Act, I can't vote on that bill. I'm owed that back pay from corrections. So I feel it as strongly as the folks who are presently in corrections are feeling it. We'd like to get that bill passed. So I'm going to be pressing legislator. It's our oldest bill. It's from 2011.
No
it's the
kidding.
Right thing to do, and it needs to be paid.
So what do you think this upcoming election is about in the state of Illinois? And I know that sounds like a doggone and I want to try to reduce it down. I mean, we see what's going on in Washington, a country that is so deeply divided that we can't agree on anything. Is the same thing happening in Illinois? Is that what's going on right now?
Well, I don't think it's happening all over Illinois. If you look at the vote count last night, there were more votes cast in the city of Chicago than the rest of the state combined. So if southern Illinois, and I'm talking I-80 South, and then deep southern Illinois for sure, if they want to be heard, they've got to get out and vote, because the choice is pretty clear. You know, we either continue down the same road we've been on, which is tax and spend, led by Speaker Madigan, and we know that J.B. Pritzker is certainly a Madigan pick, supported by Madigan, or do we go with a choice that might not be 100% what we want as Southern Illinoisans, as values voters, but we know that we have a candidate in Bruce Rauner that will fight tooth and nail against Speaker Madigan and his policies, and that is what J.B. Pritzker is pushing.
So this election's about Mike Madigan?
I think so. I hate to, you know, I know it sounds like a dead horse when you talk about it, but it is clearly about Mike Madigan. Whether or not we're going to continue down his, because he leads the charge. There's no question about it. When you sit in the House, it doesn't matter what the Senate does. It doesn't matter what the governor wants to do. Mike Madigan controls everything that goes on in this state. So do we want to give him now the governorship again, or do we want to fight back as Southern Illinoisans and say, we're not on your program? And people might think their vote doesn't matter because of what we saw coming out of Chicago, but certainly it matters. It sends a message. And if we come out in force to say no to Mike Madigan, we can turn this state around.
21% voter turnout in Williamson County yesterday. I would imagine we'll see very similar numbers in other counties, between 17 and 21%, my thoughts.
You know what? I think people need to remember it. In other countries, there are people who are killed. In Iraq, when they voted for the first time, they had to give their fingerprint. So there was a ink spot on their finger. Those people had their fingers cut off just for voting. That's what we have to remember here in this state, is there are people around the world who would love to have the rights that we have. Go exercise your right. It isn't just your right, it's your duty and responsibility.
I'm trying to analyze. Like I said, I don't know whether it's sleepy because I'm looking at the future and I always try to kind of look over the horizon a little bit. I told people this morning after I listened back to the audio last night of J.B. Pritzker, I actually said this morning and played a number of the sound cuts, and I said, I finally get it. It finally came clear. Either one, Donald Trump is a whipping boy to create a fervor at the polls in the resist movement, or J.B. Pritzker is running for governor of Illinois because he wants to run for president of the United States in the next term against President Trump.
Yeah, that's certainly what it sounded like. But you know what? Down here, many, many people support President Trump and the things that he's trying to accomplish. So I would say that may play well in Chicago, but it doesn't play so well down here. So we've got a battle royal on our hands, and I'm encouraging people, get engaged. Get engaged, not just in the conversation, but get engaged in moving this state forward.
Is the only way to handle this, I mean, do we really want, gee whiz, the most broke state in the union, being the home of the most expensive gubernatorial election in U.S. history? The difference between that, it's confusing, I think. Why, $69 million in the primary by J.B. Pritzker. You ought to look at the pie when it comes to Bruce Rauner and mega donors being defined anybody over $100,000. Should there be some kind of spending limits put in place for elections in the state of Illinois so that we can control this?
Well, I think we certainly need to take care of the dark money that's coming in. We saw it here in the race for the 115th. There was $250,000+ spent by a Chicago radio personality to try to unseat me. $250,000+ that isn't even reported yet.
Was that Dan? Was that Dan that did that?
It was Dan Proft coming into our district. Congressman Shimkus spoke for me at a Washington County Farm Bureau breakfast recently, and he said he was appalled by the fact that a Chicago radio personality, someone who doesn't even share our values, would try to come into our homes and tell us how to vote. That's what has to be fixed. It wouldn't matter so much who's giving if everything was transparent, so that you could actually see who the donors are to all of the dark money. You can argue about, then you can look at it and say, well, I'm not going to vote for that person because this is who's giving them money. But my opponent in this race says he only spent $60,000. But the fact is, $250,000 was spent for him. And that's not, no one can even look at that until the quarterly report is done April 15th.
Well, clearly money is the issue, and we need it to be about the message.
Yes, we do.
Then again, the money can generate the repetition in the message that has a tendency to provoke a more substantial response through repetition. So, I mean, being a marketing guy, I get it. On the other hand, sometimes we may know the cost of something, but apparently we don't know the price that we pay for it. Terry, there's another component to running a race that I think until you've done it, you don't get it. and is that you relied on a lot of volunteers and help to be able to get that message across for you.
That's true. A lot of door knocking, a lot of phone calling. Yesterday, I took calls all day long for people who supported me in the past and just had some questions about why I took certain votes. Once you have the time to personally explain those, or if you help your volunteers to understand what the message is so that they're not just repeating, they're not just repeating a script. They understand. That's the challenge. That's what I try to do, is make sure that we educate people as much as possible. There were folks that certainly were in disagreement with votes that I took, and I hope to be able to sit down with them. We've got from now until November. I'm going to be running now against an opponent who is going to be fully backed by Speaker Madigan. And again, this district needs to decide, do you want a voice that votes the district, or do you want a voice that does whatever Speaker Madigan tells them to do? And I think my votes have exemplified an independent thinking that says that when I'm with you, I'll vote whether it's Governor Rauner or whether it's against Governor Rauner. What's good for the district is the best vote, and I think people spoke very loudly about that last night.
Have you talked to Dr. Jacobs?
I have not. It's kind of odd. This is my fourth campaign when you count the primaries, and I have never received a concession call from any of my opponents.
It used to be.
I don't even know what that feels like.
It used to be standard operating procedure.
Well, I think it's the right thing to do, but sometimes people don't do it. So,
well, Jeannie Ives did
the high road.
Yeah, Jeannie Ives did it last night, right?
And that is the classy thing to do. And
she
I applaud her for that, and then I applaud her for jumping into the ring as well. She's a lady who is a fighter. I love serving with her in the General Assembly. She brings a voice that often isn't heard. Sometimes she's a little too brash, but maybe we need that sometimes.
Jackie Kennedy, in her biography, wasn't allowed to be published until after she had passed away, and she talked about John and how do you do it. And he said, he told her in this autobiography, she recounts the story, that you never let an argument get so bad one day that you are not willing to talk to that person the next day. And I was thinking about that in the context of Jeannie Ives and Governor Bruce Rauner. Did it get so bad that nobody wants to talk to each other ever again and never the twain shall meet? Because that would be devastating for the Republican Party in the upcoming November election.
Yeah, I don't think that that will happen. I think that, at the end of the day, Republicans are very good at, focusing on what we do agree on. And, with a man like Ronald Reagan having led this party for so long, we know that at the end of the day, we have to come together. And honestly, there's a story in the Old Testament where a guy named Shemaiah was shouting down King David. And one of King David's guards wanted to go over and cut the guy's head off. And King David said, don't do that, because who knows that what that person is saying is what God wants me to hear. Now, in this case, I would say whoever your opponents followers are, they have a voice, and you need to listen to what they say. That's what I'm going to be doing from now until November, listening to the folks that supported my opponent and saying, look, I understand where you're coming from. Here's why I did what I did. Maybe we can agree to disagree on some stuff, but let's move this state forward, and I'm the one to do it.